the flowers here, you see any flowers kind of here, are in celebration of Mrs. and her 30-something marriage. So I don't know where she...
She left.
She left. Oh, no. Okay. So I just wanted to thank her and to say congratulations to Missy and her marriage, 30-something life together. So... Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Our gospel for today is a familiar text that often communicates assurance. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, preparing them for his departure, yet promising his continued presence. Those who love me will keep my word, he says, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. We will make our home with them. And that is a beautiful image, isn't it? Not a short visit, not an appearance, but a dwelling, a permanent residence. God, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, desires to make a home in ourselves. And this is the intimate, relational peace that Jesus offers. He assures his disciples and us. He assures us with the promise of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach and remind them of all he has said. And then he mentions these profound gifts. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. And this peace, of course, isn't simply the peace that we know, which is the absence of conflict, but rather is a profound sense of what we call shalom, peace. The Hebrew word shalom, which means wholeness, a righteousness with God, that grounds us even when the world around us feels anything but whole or right. It's a peace that flows from the knowledge that God is with us always. The deep dwelling of God, or this home, which is also means a deep dwelling, the dwelling of God, it's also echoed in a powerful way in the reading from our book of Revelation. Here John describes a vision of the new Jerusalem, a city descended from heaven. But what is striking about this vision is not the temple. It says, I saw no temple in the city. John writes, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb, which is the very presence of God, and the Lamb is the temple. God dwells directly with the people. And so that means that there is no longer a need for a separate building or for a mediating space. And in this divine presence, there is healing and there is light and there is life-giving water. It's a vision of ultimate peace, ultimate restoration, ultimate dwelling. And so how does God dwell in God's home? Shows in our world today. Our reading from Acts offers a compelling example. Paul, in a vision, hears a Macedonian man pleading, come over to Macedonia and help us. And this is a divine invitation, a call to extend God's presence beyond established boundaries. Paul and his companions respond, sailing straight to Philippi. There they encounter Lydia, a successful businesswoman, a worshiper of God. The text says, the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. Lydia and her household are baptized, and then she does something remarkable. She insists, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home. Lydia, whose heart has been opened by God, in turn opens her home, her dwelling place. She becomes a living embodiment of God's dwelling, welcoming the apostles, offering hospitality, becoming a new center for the emerging Christian community in Philippi. But Lydia's story is not just about hospitality. It is about discerning where God is calling her, us, to go, and how God is calling us to be present in the world. It's about recognizing the divine invitation to extend compassion and welcome, and to create spaces where others can encounter God's peace, that same peace that we know. Which brings us to a profound and challenging reality in our own times. I have recently been troubled by many stories, familiar stories perhaps for you, of families whose peace has been shattered by the complexities of our world. I continue to hear of families fleeing violence from other countries, seeking safety, only to find themselves navigating hugely uncertainly and even in detention centers. It's in a similar journey that an ELCA pastor, who a few years ago, despite building a life here, raising a family and serving God's people, found herself separated from her U.S.-born daughters and husband. And so she was in a detention center for many months. Her story and the stories of countless others bring home the brokenness of our world, the injustices that disturb peace, and the fear of an uncertain future. And so it is in these moments that I ask myself, how does being people of faith make a difference? What does faith do for us when peace is disturbed? And it is precisely in these moments when our lives are disturbed that Jesus' promise in John takes on new meaning. I will not leave you orphan. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, is one who is called alongside. And this is the peace that Jesus gives, which is not the absence of all conflict, but a peace that comes from God's abiding presence, from the Spirit who walks alongside us, reminding us of Jesus' words, empowering us to hold on even when everything else feels unstable. And this peace is not dependent on political outcomes or personal comfort. It is the peace of Christ that grounds us even when the ground beneath our feet feels shaky. And just as the Holy Spirit is called alongside us, so too we are called to come alongside others around us. We are called to be Lydias in the world, people whose hearts are opened by God, and who in turn open their homes, their hands, their voices to those in need. And whoever that may be, I've just gave an example of what I'm most familiar with. We are called to embody the presence of Christ, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors, especially those whose peace has been disturbed, stolen, whose lives are in turmoil. Psalm 67 reminds us of this outward focus. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. God blesses us not just for our own comfort, but so that we may be a blessing to the world, extending God's love and justice. So in a world searching for healing and for light, for a dwelling place where peace truly reigns, we are called to be the reflection of that new Jerusalem, We are called to be people who do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God. We are called to offer the peace of Christ, a peace that abides even in the storm, a peace that calls us to welcome, to advocate, and to be present, just as God is present with us. So may we continue to live into this calling, trusting in the advocate who is always alongside of us, and being the advocate for others, in Jesus' name. The peace of the risen Christ be with all of us. Amen.